There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
And away we go. FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile. Glad to have you here on this Thursday, 343-0106. How you get through, 343-0106 for a call or a text. Oh, yeah, correction. 251-343-0106 is duly noted. 251-343-0106 works for calls or text. And with the FM Talk 106.5 app, you can even leave us a talk back message. All right. As we come on here today, we check in with you. This is one of the items on my Locals Only Christmas list. I do this every year. You can access the list on our Facebook page. It's pinned up top at facebook.com/FM Talk 106.5. And on our website, just click the top tab there that says Locals Only Christmas. One of the items, and it's a perennial on there, is the gift of Lagniappe. Put it in the stocking, put it under the tree, just give it this year. And here's their endorser, my friend Kyle Hamrick. Hey, Kyle.
Hey, Sean. You know, a subscription to Lagniappe, that's the gift that keeps on giving the whole year round, like a Jelly of the Month Club subscription, too.
It's like if Harry and David, their fruit selection was information and news, it would be called Lagniappe.
Yes. Oh, yes. Absolutely.
So let's get into some of the delicious, what just arrived, speaking of the website too, and we'll talk, you can get the paper every week, but what changes is the news every day, and that's what they do on the website. This story came out since I talked to you this morning, this story out over at LagniappeMobile.com. Here we go. Mobile City Council approves the purchase of office space. Kyle, what are they going to buy some office space?
Not quite. The city council is poised to approve a contract that would bring us one step closer to having a hockey team back here in the Port City. It was a first read for the agenda on Tuesday, a $1 million and some change dollar contract to put up some Dasher boards.
What's a Dasher board?
It's a little sort of fence, you know, a durable sort of fence that you put on the edge of an ice rink or a hockey team. So this is getting us closer to bringing back hockey to the Mobile Civic Center when it opens in its new form in 2027.
So, I mean, right here, the agreement with Athletica Sports Systems to install aluminum prefabricated Dasher board system in the forthcoming Mobile. So they're contracting for it, but there's nowhere to put it yet.
Right. Not yet. The arena is still, you know, the steel frame is up, but I think the ice rink might still be red dirt at the time of speaking. Right. So this is something
red mud.
Red mud. This is something that'll be put in later on, but we're going to go ahead and get the contract through at the last meeting of the year, which will be the 30th. So it's not this Tuesday, but the next.
Okay, and now so the city is paying here for the Dasher board system, its infrastructure.
Yes.
Are they? Yes. How's the money go on the hockey team? I mean, it's. We build it and they come. I mean, there's no incentive money going to the hockey team. I mean, how does that work? Do you remember that? I mean, I remember we discussed it when it first came up, but how does it?
Uh-huh. This is a build it and they will come thing. The hockey team, I think it was the Southern Professional Hockey League, came out in September and said that they're going to bring a team back when the city builds the new venue at the arena. So I am not aware of funds going to the hockey team right now, but this is part of getting them here. They have said that they're coming. This is what we need to get them here, because they got to have a place to skate. So this is part of that plan. This $1 million has already been in the budget for the Civic Center. That's what Mayor Spiro Chiarigotta said Tuesday after the meeting.
Okay. Well, this, because I, you know, that headline got my attention. I'm like, what are we? Oh, it's for infrastructure. It's not for, like, yeah. So we have the, I mean, the way, I don't know exactly how it was done before with the Mystics, but I mean, the city owns the place, but we don't have to, I mean, do they pay, I forget, do they pay rent to play hockey games there, or how it works, or do we split the door with them? I forget.
Yeah. I think there might be some kind of sharing of the proceeds. I mean, because they surely would have to, you know, I guess, like the city does to the county, I guess the hockey team would have to pay some kind of rent to be in the facility, maybe like a franchise fee or something. That's something that I'm gonna find out, see how those financials work. Yeah, if we build it, then the hockey team will come in and start skating, which they still need a name. We don't know what their name is yet.
Well, I mean, we threw some ideas out there, but yeah, I mean, that was all for our ears. I don't know, were they listening at you know, wherever the management company is for this?
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, there's the Mobile Mystics. They actually could bring that back. I believe
I think that brand is good. I argued that before. I mean, if it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Right. But if they have to go with something new, you know, they might go with the Port City Shawns. You know, they might could get, you know, like a giant foam head of yours to do that.
That's probably the best idea.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, you know, just think of the merchandise.
It's all about the merchandise.
That contest is still open, to name it.
Grab another story. Now, this is from, I guess I hadn't talked to you about this story. It came out like last week, but the license awarded for possible medical weed in Daphne and Mobile. This story, is this the story that never, I mean, I thought this was 4 years ago they passed the legislation, I think, or maybe more for this, and here we are still talking about this. What happened last week, and what, I mean, where does this land on a timeline for people who need this stuff getting it?
Yeah, well, folks have definitely been waiting, you know, far longer than I think anybody had in mind here to get this thing going. Last week, the state Medical Cannabis Commission gave out a handful of licenses for dispensaries. I believe there were three dispensaries, and then there's a fourth one that's kind of in limbo there. But they finally gave out the license to open up a dispensary in the state. There have been a lot of lawsuits throughout this process. One of those there was an order from a judge, I believe, in Montgomery to pause the distribution of the dispensary licenses. That order was undone in the summer. The temporary restraining order was lifted, and so now they rolled out what I believe are the final licenses that need to go out. And some could come to Mobile and to Daphne. One of the companies that got the license on its website has an address for Airport Boulevard here in Mobile and for US 98 in Daphne.
Now, and if we remember, too, y'all, the dispensary side of it, I mean, I thought there were parts of the legislation before I realized it turned into a complete kerfuffle. But some of the things I liked about it, that municipalities could vote whether they wanted a dispensary or not. You know, they legalize right. it statewide. And then if people at a local level, that, I mean, to me, that seems like good government. You can say, hey, we want a dispensary yeah. in our town. No, we don't want it. So there are certain places, even though the county says yes, Daphne would say yes for dispensary. But I think Fairhope was a no. I mean, there can yeah. we'll kind of look at, you know, there are only so many places they can go with these.
Right, right. And that's a callback to when I was covering the Eastern Shore. Daphne did vote to allow the dispensaries to operate in the city. There's a lot of restrictions to these things. Like they have to be so far away from a church, so far away from a school. Fairhope voted not to do that. They I believe it was Jack Burrell who said, and I wrote this in a story, that they didn't want the flashing weed neon signs going off downtown. So they did not vote to take part in this. Foley was another city that voted to be part of it. And of course, they can open in Mobile as well. So these things could be coming soon. I tried to get in touch with the owner of the company that got one of the licenses. They have not finalized plans yet. They're still kind of getting together what they want to do after getting the licenses. But the website that they had said that, you know, they have some places. They have a place in Mobile and a place in Daphne. So we'll see what comes of that there.
All right. People want to read these stories and a whole lot more. All they got to do is check out the website, get subscribed, and while they're there, get that gift membership. So tell them how to do it again.
Absolutely. You head to lanyapmobile.com. We have a subscription tab that you can click on there. You can find the one that fits your needs or the person that you're giving gifts needs. It is a great way to spend your Powerball prize if you are so fortunate to win that. You could get a bunch of subscriptions.
That seems like the most logical thing, but that's after you pay your taxes. So you see this, you have to, if you would go the way I'm reading this, I'm studying up because I'm pretty sure I'm going to win here. If I won, and let's say I went to Florida, it'd be better because they don't have an income tax. But if I went to Mississippi, I would have to pay income tax in Mississippi and Alabama on it. Even though we don't have a lottery, I'd still have to, Alabama still wants their cut of the action.
Oh, yeah. The government is always going to get their cut here.
With $1.5 billion, so what do I care? You know, I got the
money. Oh, yeah. You got plenty of money.
So. Good stuff, man. And Merry Christmas to you if we don't talk before.
Merry Christmas to you and to all your fine listeners. See you later.
There you go. And good stuff. There he goes, Kyle Hamrick with Landyap, landyapmobile.com. We're coming right back.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 123 FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile. On this Thursday, glad to have you along. This segment of the show brought to you by my buddy Jeff Stone at Stone Arms. And cool time here to be thinking about, a couple things upcoming. First of all, Christmas, right? And so, and we'll talk about silencers here in a second, that process. But just a great selections of handguns, shotguns, rifles, accessories for them, for the shooter in your life, ammo, and a very, very competent staff. And the gunsmithing there, I've mentioned that in the past, too. If you want to have something, maybe like we've talked about, if you're getting a silencer, you're going to go through the process, which is expedited when you use that that kiosk there at Stone Arms. And by the way, somebody sent me something the other day that they're going to be shutting down here for like 10 days with like the feds. Jeff's already got a workaround. So go out there. They still take care of you. But the if you think about shooting a suppressor on your deer rifle, you're like, yeah, but it's not threaded for the gunsmith right there can do it. So you can take your favorite deer rifle and you can put that suppressor, that can, that silencer on it. And it's a treat. I mean, think about the amount of noise, about the ear damage you do when you just shoot that rifle while you're out hunting. You can solve that with one of those as well. And the process of getting that green light from the feds, pretty easy. When you show up at Stone Arms, I'll walk you through the whole process and get you going quickly. And if you're looking just for gunsmith for anything else, rifle needs work, shotgun needs some attention, handgun needs something fixed, they got you there as well. Online, stonearmsinc.com, but go see them in person. That's the best way. They're about a quarter mile past Snow on Airport Boulevard on the south side of the road. Stonearmsinc.com, or go see them in person and tell them I said hi, or I may see you there. I may be there this afternoon. All right, to the text line here. I got a lot of catching up on the text line, and I appreciate this. Let me see. A lot of the dog ones from we talked about in the first hour that – there's a story's out. It's over on Forbes about an attorney who's also a pet owner is going to sue the IRS for the right to claim her dog Finnegan, I think, as a dependent. We'll see how that works. Yes, one of the texters said the pet as a human story sounds like a Babylon Bee story. It sure does, but it's real. Yes, Bill said, could my pet peeves be deductible? I don't know. Your pets are peeves. Let's see, Tim and Foley. My dog works 24/7 on guard duty. Will I have to pay taxes now? Well, that's no, because the way she's making her argument is the dog is a complete dependent, like doesn't have a W-2, like the kid, like so you wouldn't have to. The dog's not going to have to pay if the dog's already working. And he's a working dog, then yeah, he should already be paying taxes, Tim. Don't let the IRS hear that. Jason said, that is true. Jason said, on a positive note, if dogs were dependents, the shelters and pounds would empty fast. So, by the way, I think Mobile County Animal Shelter is at capacity right now, and they're looking for people to, if you can't adopt the dogs, to foster some dogs because they're at full capacity now and need to be able to take in other dogs. I saw that, I think, yesterday. Ben, any animal in the emotional support category would have to be added to the dependent list, wouldn't it? Well, sure, and I think there's probably going to be an argument for that. There's where I think what this lady's asking for is not going to happen, although stranger things have happened. I think the place there could be an argument, if it hadn't already been done, I have not studied this, is service dogs already are deductible on taxes, right? Seeing eye dogs, service dogs like that. Are emotional support dogs, you know, and I mean, I think about dogs that veterans have that have PTSD and those things, could those also be, maybe they already are, maybe you could deduct that already, but they're going to have to, here's the problem, there's legitimate people using them, and then there'd be a bunch of people saying like, well, yeah, my dog's my emotional support dog. Why? Because I like him, you know? John says, all the pets, all the pets I've had have all been working dogs on our farm. Therefore, I get to write off their purchase and the expenses for them. Yeah, well, I've been around a lot. Cow dogs, I mean, you really couldn't. I mean, John, you make a great argument, you know, and if you're working cattle, your dogs are, like, essential to that. Now, can you depreciate your dog? John, I hadn't thought about that one. Your depreciation schedule. On the dog, like, well, if the dog was worth this, would, you know, he was 2. Now he's 12 and basically holds down the couch. He's worth less. Captain Doug says, listening to the building discussion, the police center discussion, is that a need or a want? I don't know. You got to ask city leaders on that. Terry says, if the city needs office space, they should move into the old Corps of Engineers building on St. Joseph. I think both sides on this, I think what we're seeing is a negotiation. Both sides need each other. I mean, the county needs somebody to rent that space, right? And I know that they're saying, oh, they can put law firms in there or whatever, but they're not going to fill up all that space. They need the city in there. The city needs a place to be. And if they're talking about going somewhere new, how would you all feel about a big capital expenditure? Even if it's a building they had to go and remodel it and do all that. Now, I think they stay where it is. I think right now they're trying to figure out what the right price and the compromise is. All right, coming back, we can talk about that and a whole bunch more. 343-0106.
You're listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, welcome back. FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along on this Thursday. Yeah, in breaking news here, I see that Michael had sent something about it. This from Fox News says an airplane linked to former NASCAR star Greg Biffle crashed while landing at a North Carolina regional airport this morning. The plane identified as a Cessna 550, gets the tail number, which was owned by GB Aviation Leasing, LLC, according to Federal Aviation Records. Company is owned by Biffle. It crashed at Statesville Regional Airport. And now I'm seeing that this is not confirmed to the news story, but I guess they're saying that Greg Biffle was aboard. That is not, FAA hasn't confirmed that here, or the officials, the Iredell County Sheriff's Office has not confirmed it, but that is looking like it's possible here. We'll keep our eyes on that story as well. Or if you have an update, you can hit us up on the text line at 343-0106, 343-0106. Also, on a lighter note, Supermom says, John Sharp has to be the most serious man that ever serious manned. He could break out of that show a little bit, Supermom, but I know what you're saying. It makes him a good journalist, too. But now he can be fun, but he's a pretty serious dude. Until you get him goofing about football or something. And Michael goes on to say, it's now being widely reported that Greg Biffle was on board. He was truly heroic with his recovery efforts after Hurricane Helene. Let's see. Larry in Daphne said, Sean, if I won a $100 million lottery, even if after federal in both states I had to pay $90 million in taxes, $10 million would surely make a mighty fine dent in my budget at the end of the month. You got that right, Larry. Yeah, and it's funny. It's the effect now that this jackpot is so big. And they've been talking about it for years. Now that people go, well, I guess it's worth it for me to get in. $1 million isn't worth it? But now it's worth it. I can daydream a little bit more. Yeah, Powerball jackpot is now, according to New York Post, here's how they write it. The Powerball jackpot has surged to a monstrous $1.5 billion, the fifth largest in the game's history, ahead of the holidays after no ticket matched all six winning numbers drawn last night. The winning numbers for the estimated $1.27 billion jackpot were 25, 33. It's exactly the numbers I'd have guessed. I didn't play, but the numbers were 25, 33, 53, 62, and 66 with a red Powerball 17, whatever that means. It shows you how the Powerball thing works. I've bought tickets before. I really just don't know how it works. It says, so the next drawing's going to be on Saturday. And so this is a good Christmas present to yourself if you win this. Saturday's drawing will be the 45th of the current jackpot run, breaking a game record for the most drawings in a single cycle, according to Powerball officials. I would hope, and I don't, if the Powerball officials could be dressed like the people in, the Punxsutawney Phil, like the people in Punxsutawney that had the groundhog, with the big top hat and stuff. I wish could we get a picture of the Powerball officials if they would wear the big top hat, and possibly if one of them could have a monocle, that'd be good. So, but hopefully I can pick some other numbers and win this thing. I won't tell you, but there'll be ways if I won. It'll be, Alabamian makes large land acquisitions all over the country. You think, hey, was that Sullivan? All right. B-Dark said, I done told you my dogs are Democrats. I need a break on my taxes. So B-Dark is thinking about you following this lawsuit here and claiming your dogs as dependents. Let's see, this from Joel in Somerdale. I have an ability to read Joel's text. A lot of people don't because I can edit on the fly. Joel's texts are like as profane as a stand-up comics rant, but I can handle it. He said, if I'm correct, the city of Mobile don't even have a dang place of their own, and they're paying for a hockey ring and stuff already. I can run the city of Mobile as good as that clown bunch she's doing. Okay. Then goes on to say in this haiku, what did they think? The blank holes think that this is a field of dreams, build it and they will come. They're freaking stupid. Well, part of this thing is they're going to have the ice rink, right? So, they're not paying the team, but they're putting the ice rinks. So, you know, it's here's the thing, though. I mean, Joel, I'm with you in the fact that here, it, problem is, I guess I'm ignorant to what stuff costs. But when you start, like, the money seems high. Maybe there's going to be somebody who knows this stuff way better than me. So that's, but that seems very expensive for just the walls that keep you from skating out into the crowd, right? These things, here it is. It's $1 million contract for a prefabricated dasher board system. It's $1,007,690. I mean, I don't know what those things cost. If it's what I'm picturing, right? So, I mean, you have the ice, and then you have the thing that they, when you're watching hockey, they knock each other into. That's going to be the dasher board, right? I don't know. Joel, I'm with you. I don't know why it costs that much. But, maybe there's something to it. I don't know. All right. Fire Dog said the hockey teams could be named the Radios and sponsored by 106.5, Turning Up Your Ice. I like that. Pretty good. Pretty good marketing, Fire Dog. And Fire Dog said, did he just say I was a fine listener? I personally am insulted. Oh, from John. Sean, so anonymous texter said something here. Sean, one thing to think about in choosing your state is being anonymous. I believe in Mississippi, they don't publish your name if you win, but Florida will. I don't know about you, but I don't want anyone I've ever known in my entire life coming out of the woodwork wanting money. That's true. So it may be worth, you're saying, it may be worth the piece because I'm going to win this thing, right? So I should go buy my ticket. Mississippi's a lot closer. I can see Mississippi from my house here, from the West Mobile studios of FM Talk 106.5. So it's better for me to just drive into Mississippi and do it. I'll have to pay the taxes, but it gives me that anonymity. Okay. One thing, if I won't admit to it, but if it says, you know, Alabama acquires huge ranch in Wyoming, might be a clue. Let's see. How's the gun store at Stone Arms? I've used them for transfers. I got a pistol. I need to get refinished. Their gunsmith is, the store is fantastic. Tim, if you've been in there for transfers, you probably know it. Their gunsmith, here's like the alpha and the omega. Here's the thing I put on it. The gunsmith with Stone Arms has both done work and assembly and on modern, okay, some modern sporting rifles of mine. At the same time, they refurbed to just fantastic refurb job on my grandfather's 1936 32 caliber lever action. I mean, it's just, and that gun's so special to me. I was so worried about, you know, when I was taking it over, like, hey, I want the wood grain here, because my grandfather was a farmer. Guns were just tools. It was held together with electrical tape, and it was, and they restored it, matched the wood grain. It's just awesome. So, Tim, yes, awesome work. Let's see. Jerry saying, do I need a work visa for my English pointer? I would think so. I mean, if you're going to claim them on your taxes, yeah, probably. And Maximus suggested, hey, Joel, that you and Maximus need to have a podcast. Y'all do, because you could just be Potty Mouse right there. Okay, I'll get you some paperwork. We'll get you set up. We'll start recording your podcast at the studios. So let me know when you want to start.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, welcome back. Midday Mobile, FM Talk 106.5. Make sure to get your votes in for Alabamian of the Year. It's right there on the website, fmtalk1065.com. When you hit the website, on the right-hand side, you'll see the choices. So it goes through, like, this is a heat within a round. So we pair about. See, we've got all these people, places, things, events all listed here. And then each day we have your chance to vote two to make it on to the next round. So that's your part of this. And here you go. Today, on the in this heat, Mobile Mayor Spiro Chiriagatis, U.S. Senator Tommy Tuberville, Mobile County Sheriff Paul Birch, paired with the inflatable Fair Hope penis protest, protest penis. I thought I'd be saying this stuff. St. Michael's head coach and NFL quarterback Philip Rivers and the Red Clay Strays. So you can vote right there on the front page of FMTalk1065.com. Also, I saw that that Jerry had suggested maybe moving the city government building to the River Shack, where it's now open. It'd be interesting. Like, if you had to go deal with city, you could arrive by boat. Be like a little... I knew something was going on down there. I don't know what exactly led to all this, but this summer when I went to the River Shack, going down there, and they weren't fixing the dock. I was like, why wouldn't you? I mean, that's what makes this thing a jam, man. You know, I mean, you have good food and all that stuff, but you get to pull up in the boat. That's fun. All right. Jason said the Port City Patriots would be a great name for the team, and imagine how cool the merch would be. Maybe John Young would give up the rights to the name. I don't know. John's going to hold on to his trademark stuff. John, hold on. It's John, get top dollar for that. And Larry says we should call them the Mobile Icebreakers, a tribute to all the shipbuilding in Mobile. If Pensacola gets to be the Ice Flyers, in a tribute to the Blue Angels. I'm still on the. I think the Mystics thing was good. I don't think you need a new name for them. And see, Michael says, I hate to have to agree with Joel, but there's 0% chance that a hockey team will succeed in Mobile. If they're named the Icy Beavers, then they might have a chance. by the way, Joel, so Maximus has responded. He's in. So if y'all want to work on something like that, your podcast, let me know. We do have, by the way, if you, on a serious note, and I'm serious about Joel and Maximus, but if you've want to do a podcast, don't know how to do it, we do have facilities we are helping people with their podcasts. We have the studios, we have the engineers. You can come and set recording times with us and come in and do that. Call the front desk or just send me an email. And probably best, just send an email to Sean, S-E-A-N, at fmtalk1065.com, and we'll get you set up there. All right, unnamed texter says the city could move into the GM&O building. Here, okay, this is why I keep saying both. This is why I think there's just a negotiation on this. The county needs the city, right, to take up space there and pay rent more than they're paying. The city needs that space as well. And if the city goes, and everybody's talking about all these different buildings, let's take one. Let's not do one they have to buy, right? So, I mean, like, somebody said, like, Dolphin Way Baptist Church, we have to buy that building. Okay, so take something the city already has. Like Texture said, GM&O building. There's going to be a big capital outlay to remodel, refurbish, wire, all that stuff, those buildings, to get it ready. So the city already is on for, you know, a lot of different projects out there. How much an extra, I mean, how many, if they got to pay an extra, I don't know, let's say it's $4 a square foot. Let's say it goes from 12 to 16. There'll be some math whiz, somebody on the abacus right now that can give me the amount. But if they had to do that, extra $4 times 100, and, I don't have the story in front of me, 127,000 square feet, I think, the city occupies. So extra $4 a month for that. How long till you reach? Because, I mean, let's say they took the GM&O building, which is a really cool building, but or they took something not as fancy. City has real estate. We're looking at, it's got to be tens of millions of dollars to get something set up like that, right? So how long till you get that back by not paying rent of an extra $4 a month, or actually extra $16 a month? All right, Supermom says, if Red Clay Strays win and they come in for the award, I will be conveniently in your lobby for a picture and an autograph. That's cool. Come on, well, maybe they will win. They've won everything else, those guys. Good for them. Good for them. They actually, can I say, let's just, a member of the Red Clay Strays, that, and I can't tell you his schedule for being in there, but talking about Stone Arms, right? We're just talking about them. A member of the Red Clay Strays will be in there on occasion. Leave it at that. I get myself in trouble. He'll be in there on occasion. You walk in and talk guns with him. Let's see. Yes, and so Backstrap Sacker said on the Alabamian of the Year, instead of Paul Birch, it should be the Paul Birch's Halloween decorations. It kind of is. We went back and forth with that, Backstrap Stacker. We're trying to figure out, whether that would be a separate, because we almost thought about making it a separate entry, but you can, it can be for the Halloween decorations. Dalton and I did discuss that. We went with just Sheriff Paul Birch, but you can take whatever you want with that for the Alabamian of the Year. What story, as you look through these, as you look through your choices, like for today, you look at this heat today, which of these, or two of the ones listed, most moved the news cycle in Alabama in 2025? And I've said that before, you can vote because you think somebody's great, but you could also, sometimes it's a not great thing that moved the news cycle. Sometimes it's, you know, which one drove the most discussion, you know, and like some of them could be a singular event that was talked about for a while. But if you have a person, they may have several times or more than that throughout the year done something that's been of discussion. So you got to look at it in its totality, right? Something like that. All right. What are Alabama's taxes on the, I don't know, on the lottery winning? I mean, Alabama's going to take their taxes. That's what I love. I mean, the state, we're not going to do lottery. And there's a lot of reasons. We've done it 100 times on the show why they can't get a clean lottery bill passed. But the state won't pass a lottery, but the state will absolutely take money from you playing the lottery. So if the lottery is, you know, and there are people, there's opposition that's based on money in Montgomery, a lot of it. There are some people that are morally opposed. There are no votes up there. They're morally opposed to the lottery. So I would say maybe they should do a side, little adjunct resolution to not take, if it's bad, then the state coffers should not take money from your lottery winnings because it's bad. Would there be space? I think Jerry was joking. Somebody said, would there be space? Not enough. There's not enough space for the city at the River Shack. Yeah, I don't think Jerry was completely serious about that. But we would get in the news if we had a city hall that was on the water that you could come to by boat. It was like, you know, the stories of getting your mail delivered on Fish River, right? By boat. We made national news. This Alabama City Hall is on the water, as it should be. Something like that. All right. We'll do it again tomorrow. By the way, thank you, Captain Doug. So an extra 4 by 127,000 square feet is an additional $508,000. So there you go. So how many years take that to make up, to remodel a building? And then what do you do? And you just put a Spirit Halloween in the county government building? The city moves out? I'm not sure. Paul Feinbaum on the way next, and we'll do it again tomorrow.